fulfilling our purpose. Let's stand, get your Bibles out, hold them up. This is my Bible. This is the Word of God. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'm going to be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. And I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'm going to be changed. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. While I'm getting to my notes, I want the board to know that we have a board meeting at 2 today. Since we have the picnic, we're going to change it to 2. And I'm going to try everything within me to be done by 3:30. Do I have an amen? I know some of you board members are saying, yeah, right. We try that every time, don't we? No, I think my agenda is very short today, so it should be good. We have been preaching on fulfilling your purpose and staying focused, and we're headed to something here. We've preached on worship, on fellowship, last week on evangelism. Today is going to be on discipleship and what discipleship is and what we're to do as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to stay true to Him. And it's exciting when we know what our purpose is and where we're headed. And this church is headed somewhere. We are headed somewhere. You know, we had a vision put before us years and years ago for missions, for harvest, and that's where we're headed. We're headed to harvest. We're headed to bringing people into the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. That is not our vision, it was the Lord's vision, and He gave it to Pastor years ago when we started the church, and we have always been evangelistic outreach. We had people that left right away when Pastor got up. We were in this little bitty place with about 15 people, and he said, we are going to be outreach, we're going to be evangelistic in nature. And half the people didn't ever come back. They really didn't, because they didn't want to do Operation Go. They didn't want to go into the harvest field. They didn't think they needed that. And so we're going to talk today about discipleship and exactly what discipleship is. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew 28. This has kind of been our text, Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord God, that every one of us would have ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for us this morning concerning discipleship and concerning fulfilling our purpose. We thank you, Father God, that for the anointing that is upon me, to deliver the word with simplicity, yet with clarity. And Father, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have been commanded to go into all the world and to make disciples. You know, disciples just aren't made. A disciple and a Christian are the same things. But a disciple is one that is continually learning, continually growing. And the thing that grieves my heart, I've seen it too many times, is that they're... We get people saved. That's usually not a problem, getting people saved. To train up and to equip the saints for the work of the ministry once they get saved. Oh, no, Pastor Lenore, that's what you're for. No, I'm sorry, it's not. My job is to equip you for the works of the ministry. Just like we did today when I asked the people that needed healing. I didn't have to pray for them. Because why? Because we're all ministers of the gospel. The same power that is in me is in you. When you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Why? Because you're a disciple. You are a Christian. You are a Christ-like one. And so we have got to get people planted in the house. We have got to become planted. Too easy, people will get offended and they'll go here or they'll go there or whatever. And they're not all that planted. You know, here a while back, somebody came in my office and said, it's just a change. I thought, a change? It's a good thing you don't throw away your wife every time you want to change. Or you don't throw away your husband every time you want to change. Been here for years. Years and years and years. And if we're not planted, we're not going to grow. For an example, if you have a tree in your backyard, and you decide that after you plant it in the spring, then in the fall, well, I don't want it like it there. I want to move it in and move it over here. And then you dig it up, and you take it over here. And then by fall, well, you didn't like it there, so in the spring you move it again. You know what? That tree is never going to grow. It's never going to bear fruit. It is never going to produce shade. It's never going to be what it was intended to be because it was uprooted all the time. And we're going to have our roots to grow deep. We're going to have to get these new people that are being saved into the church so that they can grow. The Bible says, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 92. And this is easier said than done, believe me. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. Those that are planted are going to grow. Those that are planted are going to flourish because they're going to hear the word of God. They're going to be able to overcome their flesh. Why? Because the spirit man is going to be built up. Excuse me. The spirit man is going to be built up. And when your flesh wants to do things that you know are wrong, then your spirit man is going to take charge. But until that time, you know, it's wonderful that we get people saved. That's the heart of the Father. But then they have got to be discipled. And they can't be discipled if we're not strong and if we're not planted ourselves. Trees of righteousness don't grow by themselves. They just don't grow by themselves. They're planted in common soil. And the trees that are normally planted outdoors, but God plants us in the house so that we will flourish. And we will flourish because of His grace, because of His Word, because of His Spirit. All of those things are nutrients, so to speak, that cause us to grow. Just like the nutrients in the soil cause a tree, a natural tree, to grow, then His Word, His grace, all of those things that come from a church, that causes us to grow. That's why it's important that we be planted in the house. And we're under a protective covering that will cause us to bring forth fruit. Why? All because He will be glorified. So that He will be glorified. And the righteous will flourish in Psalm 92:12. Look at verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. You know, I did some study on the palm tree, and the palm tree never changes with seasons. It never changes. It's always the same. The palm tree doesn't change in the wintertime. It doesn't change when something is said about it. It's the same. And it also said that that oftentimes when the palm tree is pressed down, then it will grow even more. In other words, trials and situations, circumstances in life can cause us to grow more. We can flourish through those trials. Now, trials and resistance can cause character to come into our lives if we won't quit, if we'll stay planted. So when we're planted in the house, then we're going to flourish in the courts. You know, we can be spoon-fed, but there has to be a transformation that takes place in our heart. And I can't do that. You can't do that. But the Holy Spirit can. That transformation has to come by the Holy Spirit. That's why when we come into the church and the presence of God fills this place, then oftentimes hearts are transformed during that time. That's why there's a weeping, because of His presence, because He's dealing with our hearts during that time. And it doesn't have to be just when we come into church during praise and worship. But that's why we have to be prepared when we come into church so that we can usher that presence in so that God can deal with hearts. That's why you come expecting. That's why when you are prayed up during the day, during the week, and you spend that 30 minutes a day before Him, and then we come into this place corporately on a Sunday, then we're going to have services, worship services like we had today. The presence of God is going to fill the place, and healings are going to take place. Miracles are going to take place. Your heart is going to be touched by the very presence of God because He is so tangible in the house. He is so tangible in the house. But too many times, we let the cares of the world come in, the busyness of life. And that's found in Mark 19. You know, the building doesn't make a church. When we were in Africa, those ladies that went with me to Africa, sometimes it was just sticks, not really big kind of poles, but they weren't poles, they were just branches off of a tree that had a roof, a makeshift roof. And the presence of God would fill the place. Why? Because the people came expecting. The people came desiring God. They came wanting more of Him. So don't think that just when you come into this place on a Sunday morning that the presence of God is going to be here. It's going to have to be a heart desire. We're going to have to come out of a desire to worship Him. We can't sit there like bumps on the logs and expect to get anything. We're going to have to enter in. He wants that fellowship from us. He so desires fellowship from us. We can fellowship with everybody else. But when it comes to the Lord, then a lot of times that's where we lack. And He desires that. A disciple is someone that sits at the feet of Jesus. That's what a disciple does. They learn of Him. Warren Wiersbe described discipleship as a process of self-denial. Oh, don't say that word. Self-denial. Why? Because our flesh, we want more. Don't we? But discipleship is self-denial. And He said, to deny self does not mean to deny things. It means to give yourself wholly to Christ and share in His shame and death. That's what discipleship is. To deny self doesn't mean to deny things, but it does mean to give yourself wholly to Christ and to share in His shame and His death. You know, discipleship is kind of like the generation gap between parents and children. How many of us have ever told our kids, grow up? How many? Well, you know, they can't. They can't grow up. They have to be trained. They have to be mentored. They have to be taught. Why? Because they've never been along that path before. We have been there, so we can see what is in the pathway if they don't change. But we have to train them. We have to teach them. Good kids don't just happen. Good Christians don't just happen. They have to be trained. We have to be taught. And so discipleship can kind of be like that gap between parents and children. We've got to show them. We've got to mentor them. We've got to help them along the way, or nothing is going to change with them. That's what Jesus did. He taught His disciples. They went with Him. He taught them. He showed them how to become what they were supposed to be. Amen? The church is not a factory for discipleship. The church is called to be a factory for discipleship making. It is not called for a warehouse of believers. We're called to put disciples forth out of this place. We should never be happy with our four no more. We should be going beyond these walls and bringing people in. And I know somebody said the other day, but how can we? All we can do is what we can do in the natural. We can't come against their will. People have a will. And some of them are, you know, we had 37 people, I think, get saved on Easter Sunday. But where are they? They have a will. We followed up on them, and some of them say, oh, well, I used to go to this church, and, well, we don't have church on Sunday, and that's my only day off, and, oh, you know, the bed feels good. Tell me about it. The bed feels good. So, no, I don't think I'll... You know, the sad thing with that is they may retain their salvation. But if they're not taught the Word of God, then too many times they go back into the way of the world. And then it's all for nothing. Why? Because when you come into a body and get planted in your disciples, then you change. You have a heart change. It's a heart transformation. So we're called to be a factory for discipleship making. And it's going to take time on our part. It's going to take time. It's going to take persistence. It's going to be frustrating because you can see what they need to do and they won't do it. But that's where prayer, and we're going to preach on prayer next Sunday. That's where prayer is going to have to come forth. We're going to have to pray for these that have gotten saved and aren't in the body. You know, we don't need perseverance. We're going to have to persevere, but we don't need the perseverance when we're up on the mountaintop. But we're going to need it when we're in that valley. And there will be, we're not always going to have mountaintop experiences in our lives. There's going to be times when we're going to be down in the valley and we're going to have to persevere. And the only way we can persevere is if we know the Word of God and have it hidden in our heart and our heart is transformed and we're being doers of the Word. Otherwise, we're going to fall apart like a cardboard box when those trials of life come. And it's not when they come, it's not if they come, it's when they come. Because trials will come to each and every one of us. And what are we going to do with it when they come? Are we going to persevere? Are we going to be like that tree that's planted by the river and our roots go deep and we're not going to be swayed? Are we going to fall over in the midst of a storm and then blame God? God's Word is true. His Word works. We're the ones that don't apply the Word. And then when those trials come, then we fold up. That's why we have to persevere. That's why it's so important to get people into the church so they can be discipled. That's why we have Operation Go. That's why we have Discipleship Hour. That's why we have Healing School. That's why we're having Midwest School for Harvesters. That's why we have Awana on Wednesday night. That's why we have the Getting a Grip on the Basics. The other night, Miss Mel did a great job on teaching Getting a Grip on the Basics. And you know what? There was a bunch of us oldie goldies in there, been a saved for 100 years. Where are the new believers that need that? That need to know what it means to be saved, what it means to walk with the Lord, what does healing mean? I want to encourage you, if you know anybody that is a new Christian, how many of you know somebody that's a new Christian that is not church? Let me see your hands. We have programs for them that will help them to get grounded. On a Wednesday night from 7 to 8:30, Getting a Grip on the Basics. Simple stuff. Like, Jesus came to give us what? Life. But it's good for us that have been saved for 100 years. It's good for us to do that so that we can minister that and express in our mind to someone else. But a disciple lives a transformed lifestyle. We're taught to put off the old and to put on the new. We have to forsake our old ways. Look at Ephesians 4. Turn in your Bibles there. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, once we come to Jesus, we put the old man off. Well, I just can't do that. You can if you get planted in the house, because the Word is going to change you. There's a washing that comes from the Word. There's a washing that comes by hearing the Word of God that is going to help to transform our hearts and to be the disciple so that we can go and disciple others in this hour. People outside these walls are looking for something different. You know, I think of Miss Vicki, and I asked her if I could use her as an illustration today. Vicki so desired the things of God years ago, and she got saved. Many times there was a knock on our door at midnight or a phone ring at 2, and she was off back in the ways of the world. But then on Sunday morning, we would pray with her, we would counsel with her, and then on Sunday morning, here she was again. And it may be good for 2 or 3 weeks, and here we are. It took time. It took time. It took perseverance. But because she so desired, and she came to church every Sunday wanting more, knew that there was more, it took years. Years? It took years for her heart to be totally transformed. But there was such a desire in her life, such a desire to do right. And she'd say, "But I desire to do right." And I would say, "Not bad enough, you don't. Not bad enough, you don't. Because instead of going and doing those things, let's build your spirit man up. Instead of doing those things, let's get in the Word. And so I want to see you in church on Sunday." So here she was, Sunday morning, Sunday night, there on Wednesday nights. Every time, until now, she is a core leader in the church. You would never know that she has come out of drugs and alcohol and all that mess that she came out of. All that death, all of the ways of the world that she came out of. Why? Because she was persistent. And it took persistence on some of our part to prod her along. Say, you can do it. We'd feed the word. See, we could spoon feed it to her, but then if there wasn't a transformation in her heart, then nothing would change. And if there wasn't her to get planted in the house so she would flourish, nothing would have changed. We could spoon feed her till the cows come home, till 5 o'clock every morning, and then she could go out and do her thing and never attend church, never get grounded, then nothing would change. That's why we have church, so that we can put forth disciples. And now we have a strong disciple that's helping with youth, a prayer warrior and a half, ministering life to people on the streets. She's a core leader in the church. But it took time for her to get that way. She didn't just get saved and then we just left her. And she had a part to say on that too. Now, so many times we can have the right things, we know the right things, we can say the right things, but our speech can be transformed, but it's our minds and our hearts and our lifestyles that sometimes remain untouched by the cleansing power of God. And that's going to happen when you're planted in the house, and then you're going to flourish in the courts. Amen? A disciple, it's one having a transformed lifestyle. That's what a disciple is. It's not just talking the talk. We can teach a parrot to talk the talk. But it's walking the walk. That's a little tougher. You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? And it's going to take something on every one of our parts. We may have the Vickies that are knocking on our door and calling us on the phone, falling apart at midnight because conviction comes to their hearts. Are we willing to make disciples of them? Are we willing to persevere with them? Are we willing to tell them, you're an overcomer, that's what the word says, but you're going to have to get planted. You can't keep hanging around those same people. We had to tell people, you have to get new friends. You can't keep hanging around them because when you're a new Christian, then they're going to pull you back their way instead of you pulling them your way. Why? Because you don't have enough word in you to pull them your way. And your flesh is saying, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And it feels good, it feels good, it feels good. For a season. For a season. And then destruction is going to come. So you say, nope, I'm dead. That old Seth, that old Vicky died. Died? Well, you're right here. I know. I put off that nature. Not doing that anymore. Oh, yeah, I want to. I want to go out and drink. I want to go out and shoot drugs or whatever they do anymore. I want to do that with you. But no, I can't. I can't. I can't. Let me call Pastor. They'll pray with me. Let me call somebody. They'll pray with me. Let me call a friend. They'll pray with me. They'll help me. It's all going to take time. It's going to take time on our part. How many of you are willing to give the time to make disciples of others? It's not just talking the talk, but it's walking the walk. Look at turning your Bibles to Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, this is Jesus talking, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother, his wife, children, brethren, and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Look at 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Wow, that's pretty hard. But you know, to follow Jesus, it's a straight and narrow path. A straight and narrow path. Broad is a way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way to him, and few, it says, find it. Why? Because our flesh has such a strong voice. And then we, sometimes as a church, are willing to lay our lives down to help the Vickies and to help those that need the help. And yes, I know they have a part to say. And there will come a time that the Lord may say, kick the dust off and go on, if they're not willing to pay that price. The church, we've got to do everything we know to do to get them in. It's getting ready to get tough. Times are going to be tough. And we're going to have to be prepared. Because I believe that the harvest is going to come in, but there are going to be people that are into the world like maybe we have never been. You know, I shared with you last week how I got saved, and when I got saved as a young girl. Now, that didn't mean that I grew right then, but I never experienced the stuff that our teenagers are experiencing now. I never experienced those things. Thank God I didn't. That's why we've got to get our children into Sunday school and into Awana. Oh, those little kids were so excited Wednesday night. They were running around here like a bunch of wild chickens. You know, they had gotten their, found out who their teacher was. And they were so excited about learning and about getting their little vest and about their books. Praise God. That's the very place they need to be to learn. And then when you train them up like that, then God is going to keep them. Amen? You know, when you take up your cross, and Roman days, the cross was a very cruel form of punishment. And when a criminal was forced to carry his cross to his place of execution, it meant that that person was saying goodbye to everything. There was no turning back. And that's what we're going to have to do as a disciple. We're going to have to say, goodbye, world. I'm not turning back. I am walking that straight and narrow. And I'm going to bring people with me to walk that straight and narrow. That's what we've got to be. What got to do. We're going to have to say goodbye to the old ways. And we can't hang out with people that aren't going to change. We can't. Well, I thought we were supposed to be a witness to them. You are. But if they're dragging you down, then say, I'm sorry. I can't hang out with you anymore. I'm trying to get strong in the Lord myself, so I can't hang out with you. I'm going to go home and pray with my wife. I'm going to go home and pray with my husband. I'm going to call a prayer warrior, and I'm going to become strong. I can't do this. I'm sorry. We have to learn to be God-pleasers and not people-pleasers. We're going to have to commit to the things of God. You know, there was a hog and a hen sharing a barnyard one day. And they heard about a church feed the hungry program. And the hen says, what can we do? What can we do, Mr. Hog, to help this program? And finally the hen said, oh, I have an idea. We can supply the eggs and the bacon. So the hog thought about that for a minute and said, well, I don't know about that. It said, for you, that might be easy because it's just a contribution that you have to make, Miss Hen. But for me, it requires commitment. That's the cost of discipleship. Total commitment. Total commitment. Look at Psalm 1:3. Are we willing to be like that hog and commit? That's not the verse I was looking for. It's a good one. Because the law is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. It's a good one. We're going to have to meditate in the Word day and night to be all that we need to be. Being a disciple is more than just being a follower. It's one who learns and they begin to apply the things that they've learned to their life. The ultimate goal of this church is to change the world. If you notice in your bulletin, we're a family church with a world vision. So the ultimate goal as to why you're here is to change the world. That's what our vision is. But it all starts with us being disciplined enough to do that. Look at a baseball team. What's the goal of a baseball team? When you hit the ball, what is the ultimate goal of that team? To come across home plate, right? You know, I think too many times we get the player to first base. And when that ball is hit, then the team doesn't go home. Everybody's a hooping and a hollering and a jumping and a shouting. Yay, they got to first base. But the team doesn't pack up and go home, and the crowd doesn't go home. They keep cheering for the next batter to hit the ball. Why? To get that first one to second base, to third base, and then across home plate. That's our goal as a body of believers. It's to get the people across home plate. It's great that we can get them to first base and to get them saved. But there's more to purpose. There's more to the game than getting them to first and second base. We should be more concerned about the score who comes across home plate than we are about the number of hits that we get. Amen? That's where discipleship comes in. They're going to have to be trained. They're going to have to be taught. Take them to get a Coke. Just talk to them. Visit with them. I'm so encouraged on Wednesday night. I see the leaders out here. Hi, so-and-so, how are you? It's good to have you in youth. Why? Because the kids see that somebody loves them. And so they desire to come. People will come when they see the love that we have for them and the love that we have for the Lord Jesus. But we as a church are going to have to get people across home plate. Salvation is great. They can't get across home plate without being saved first. But then there's the training and there's the teaching. That's all a part of the discipleship. And it can be very, very frustrating because not everybody's going to want to do that. And you so know where they're headed in life if they don't become planted. You so know the heartaches they're going to have to face if they don't. But that's where you're going to have to pray for them. You're going to have to love them in the process of all of that. Heard a saying one time that sometimes discipleship is the great omission of the great commission. The great commission is to go and to get people born again. But then discipleship can be the great omission of the great commission if we're not careful. We get real comfortable with our group, don't we? We get very comfortable. Well, it's time for us to stretch. Everybody say stretch. Get out of our comfort zones. You know, we can get very comfortable sitting in our spot. I've even had some people say, thank goodness not in this church, but other churches, somebody come, a visitor come and sit down, and some old woman come up and say, I'm sorry, you're sitting in my spot this Sunday. How rude. Don't ever let that happen here. We get real comfortable in our little zones, don't we? And we don't want to reach out to others. But this world is in need of a Savior. They're in need of hope. And we're going to have to disciple them. Christians and disciples are the same thing. But a discipleship is the development of Christians. Some characteristics of a disciple. Let's see if we pass the test. Look at John 13. John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So a characteristic of being a disciple is that you, what? Love each other. That you love each other. Luke 14, 26. Why is it so hard for us to go overseas and love those people? But yet when we come here, back in our own territory, sometimes it's hard. I think it's because we're very comfortable. We can get complacent. Just like when we go to camp meetings or winter Bible seminar, we can hoop and holler and run and shout and dance. And we come back, thank you, Jesus. Why? What are they going to think? Well, it's time for us to be God-pleasers. Time for us to be God-pleasers. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We're going to have a love for Jesus. Look at verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We're going to have a commitment to Jesus like never before. We're going to have to do good. We're going to have to be benevolent. We're going to have to abide in Jesus. We can't just keep getting people to first and second base. There comes that discipleship. How many of you could invite someone to Wednesday night's Bible study? Wednesday night. A new Christian that you know that's not going anywhere else. We're not trying to take people from other churches. People that you know that need discipled, then tell them about the Getting a Grip on the Basics. It's an excellent class. It will just take them right from where they are to where they're headed, and it will help them to understand. How do we become a strong disciple? By loving one another, loving Jesus, and committing to Jesus. It's continual growth. Continual growth. Well, I don't feel like it. We can't go by feelings. If we did, none of us would be here. The bed felt pretty good this morning. We can never go by our feelings. We're going to have to be disciplined. We're going to have to be disciplined. That means you're going to have to put flesh aside. Just like this financial seminar. You're going to have to be disciplined enough to do it. Like I said, money's not going to rain down at night while you're sleeping. And you wake up and, you know, there's money all around you. It's not going to happen. It means that you can't buy that Coke. It means you can't have that dress. I had a huge garage sale Thursday and Friday. And then I went out to Penny's yesterday to buy Carson and Madeline a couple of little outfits because they're coming next weekend. And they don't have, you know, it's hotter than blazes down where they are. So I told Gail, I said, well, I'll go and see what they have, and at least I'll have some little long sleeve shirts and a little jacket here for them. And as I started out, there was a purse. I just sold, I don't know how many, 10? But it was only $4.97. It had been $45. I picked it up. And then you just sold 10 stuff. I didn't even want to need that person. I need another head. See, I had to put my flesh aside. It was less than $5. What a bargain. Well, had that mess I sold at the garage sale was a bargain at some point. See, our flesh. We have to become disciplined. We're going to have to say no to some things. We want our finances to be different. We're going to have to be discipled in that area. You're going to have to be disciplined. Can't just go and spend and spend and spend and then whine and cry and ball around because we don't have any money. We're going to have to discipline ourselves. The other day it just irked me because I got up there and then I saw that thing only good till 11. I was going to save a bunch of money. It was only 99 cents. Then I got up there and ordered it, and then it didn't work. Well, who wants a Diet Pepsi at 10 o'clock in the morning? I wanted it when it was hot in the afternoon. Discipline. That's what a disciple is. And the more disciplined we become, then the more God is going to use us. Because we're going to be so yielded to Him. And we're going to have spent time in Him. We're going to be that disciple that sits at His feet. And then we're going to be able to speak the word when someone has a need. It's going to roll out of us. But we're going to have to be disciplined in order to be the disciple that we're supposed to be. And to bring these others in that need to be here. People are going to be calling you. I've had my phone ringing this last week of people needing help. Where are they today? The bed felt good. The bed felt good. That doesn't mean that I stop encouraging them. We miss you today. We miss you today. We want you to come. We want you to be a part of what God is doing. What is it going to cost? Everything. It's going to cost everything that our flesh desires. It's going to cost everything. You know, on Wednesday nights, sometimes, man, it's hard. Especially if you've had something Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night, and I was trying to get ready for this garage sale, and I told some of the staff, I just may not come tonight. Well, that is really nice. You're the pastor. And you're not going to come to church on Wednesday night? But that's what my flesh wanted to do. I was behind. I need to get this stuff out of the dead animal room and out into the garage. And I just may not come. Oh, I came under such conviction. About 6:15 when I got home, I thought, I can't not go to church. What kind of example is that? First pastor, oh, she's home. Discipline. The mark of a disciple, continual growth. When we get a first person to first base, our job really has just begun at that time. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take discipline to get people across home plate. But that's where we're headed. We've got to get people across home plate. Amen? How many of you are willing to be disciplined enough to help others to get across home plate? You're willing to do that. It means it's going to cost you. It's going to cost us in time. It's going to cost us in energy. It's going to cost us in effort. It's going to cost us everything. It means sometimes we're going to be tired and we're not going to want to do that. But look at the finished results, like Miss Vicki, a core leader who was so out in the world on her way to hell. And she says, if it hadn't have been for a certain few, I'd be in hell today. Because the devil was out to kill her. Because she was just letting her flesh do whatever her flesh wanted to do. She had a desire to do right. Her heart had been transformed. And that's where it all starts. And we can't do that. We can teach life application. We can teach Bible doctrines. But God is going to have to transform the heart. But then we're going to have to be disciplined enough to sit under the sound of the Word and desire to follow God enough that we discipline ourselves and make it happen. Our job is to make disciples. They're not just going to happen. Our job is to make them. We have every program, everything in place to help to make disciples. Now let's get them in so that we can make them. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Father,